Hey, Feral Audio consumer, did you know Feral Audio's got a new survey?
Hey, I am a Feral Audio consumer, even though you're not talking about that, and I didn't know that.
I am talking about that.
Man, we're on a mission to get to know our listeners a little better, and that means you. So basically, these surveys, they kind of help us get information about what you like, right?
I guess so. Your participation in these surveys makes a difference for everyone making podcasts at Feral. It's a super easy way to support the shows you love. So we appreciate you helping out. I mean, I'll say I don't. But that's just me. I don't like the idea of I don't mind the idea of a survey.
Right.
Please feel free to let someone at Feral know that you wish I lost weight. You can seriously in advance go fuck yourself.
I don't think these are the survey questions.
Okay.
No, I
imagine it's more like, who are you? Like what if we find out that there's like, you know, a bunch of asexual listeners, you know,
right.
and that they in particular don't have they don't feel like they have their point of view represented. Like, the great thing about podcasting networks is like, it's very low overhead to create a podcast. So this survey is a great first step to help us build a better Feral Audio that includes, like, if representation is your jam, or it just like your interests, you know?
Are you into football? Would you never, for instance, ever buy a football app if it was advertised to you? Is that not helpful to you?
Right. We can tailor make connections between audiences and the advertisers.
This survey is going to exactly help out those kinds of issues, because we don't know you don't like football.
You can find the survey at feralaudio.com/survey. That's feralaudio.com/survey.
You're helping yourselves.
The Feral Audio survey. You'll float too.
Today's episode is brought to you by Last Rampage, the new true crime film starring Robert Patrick, Heather Graham, and Bruce Davison. And we had the pleasure of speaking to someone involved with the movie.
So my name is Alvaro Rodriguez. I'm the screenwriter for The Last Rampage. As a writer, to me, I'm less interested in genre and more interested in character. And, you know, I've written in a lot of different genres, you know, kind of horror genre, thriller or action movie or kids movie or, you know, different kinds of things. And I was always more interested in character and hadn't really quite done something like this before, but was just really drawn to this idea of a guy like Gary Tyson, who, you know, had been in and out of institutions from the time he was, you know, a kid, and having sort of raised three sons from behind bars, and how these three sons kind of grew up in the church of Gary and thinking that their father had been, you know, unjustly accused and unjustly convicted. And all of this stuff that they were getting fed from their mom, Dorothy, who's played in the film by Heather Graham. So to me, it was just, I was interested in telling that kind of a story, telling a family story. You know, to me, the most interesting stories are family centered in some way. You know, they're elemental stories. They're stories that go back to, you know, to the most intimate and elemental parts of ourselves. So the idea of fathers and sons, you know, there's a line in the script about, in the movie about that, you know, where Gary tells his oldest son, you know, Donnie, there's only one law you got to worry about, you know, and that's a law of fathers over sons. And the only way you're going to, you know, get past that is, you know, by this, you know, by dying, basically, but kind of threatens him a little bit. But so that was really, you know, the touchstone for me, trying to figure out how to tell that story.
Don't miss Last Rampage, the true story of the prison break of Gary Tyson. In theaters and available on iTunes and all on-demand platforms today. For more information, visit truecrimelive.com or follow the movie on Twitter at Last Rampage Film or on facebook.com/Last Rampage Film.
Minneapolis! Welcome! Harmontown is now in session. Please welcome to the stage the person who is going to make this night the best night of your life, Mr. Dan Harmon!
Yeah. Twintown. I'm sure that's what they call it, Twintown. You know, they call it the Twin City, right? Because there's so many. There's a higher proportion of identical twins per capita. It's some kind of. I think it's the power lines.
Ah.
It affects the genetics of the sperms and the ova. But they're happy. They're happy people that way.
They look very happy and very good looking.
Half of them are very good looking. The other half are fortunate enough to look exactly like those people. And they never know which half is just riding the coattails. And they have frequent arguments about it during what they call the festival hour. Which is...
Don't mind my sound effects. Every time you say festival hour, you'll hear a gong.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate the added layer of sound effects. I'm not giving a note, but I don't know if being 28-year-old, you're familiar with the history of the gong in entertainment.
It's the...
it has a sort of legacy. It's...
It's the noise of festivals.
Right. Right. Aaron McGathy, comptrolling, everybody. I'm excited about it.
Thanks, guys. I just noticed that there's a camera on my face.
Yeah.
Documentaries.
Yeah. Yeah, we're making a movie here too. You're all in it. All your little shadowy faces. And did they put a camera on anyone's head in the front row? Sometimes they do that. And I notice it halfway through the show, and then I want them to. They should take like $5 off the ticket, like for the guy that has to wear a camera on his head. I've worn that thing. It's like a jock strap on your head. And it's like
it hurts. I wore it in New York, and you told me I looked like a Cloud Atlas character because I pushed all my skin down.
Yeah, it looked like Halle Berry when she was the old Chinese man. Like Chaka from Land of the Lost.
The crazy thing about wearing that in New York, no one mentioned it. Everyone came up to the merch table and was like, yeah, hey, I'm going to get a t-shirt and a thing. Everyone's so used to having cameras on them.
Twin Town! Twin Town rap!
All right.
Twin Town rap! Two cities right next to each other. Even buildings can have sisters and brothers. Got two towns, you can go to either one. I fucked your mama like a hot dog bun. Put my wiener inside, put my mustard on top. Fucked your mama like a broom and a mop. Cleaned your pussy out, made room for more. I fucked your mama on the ceiling and the floor. Fucked your mama. Yeah. That was good, that was good. God damn it. I'm getting really good at rapping. There was like eight.
Yay, festival!
All right, it's a new tradition. There were like eight things that rhymed in there.
That was very good. That was really good.
None of them were mouth and south.
And you really used your floor space.
Yeah, yeah. I'm getting good at dancing too.
Dan really went for it.
I'm getting really good at dancing and rapping. I started the tour just going like this, but now I got like I kind of like put some stopping and starting into it. Like I'm gonna go somewhere and then I can.
Amazing.
It does. I get out of breath sooner though doing that because it's like a treadmill. Jesus Christ.
Dan's a great dancer though. Before we were dating. There was a night that we spent last New Year's with Jeff Davis, and he put on a song and asked you to dance to it. Is it Surfer Baby? Surfer Girl? Surfer Baby's not a song.
Little Surfer Girl.
Little Surfer Girl. Dan put on a little dress and danced around the living room very sensuously. I'm sorry, Dan.
I mean, it sounds weird on paper. On your way to a comedy show, load up your iPad with gongs and foghorns? Your boyfriend's show. Let's see. Do I got everything in here that I want? Rim shot. Fuck that. Who needs that?
I'm sorry.
Was that a baby crying?
Yeah, it's a baby crying because everyone loves the milk of the show. The baby crying reminds everyone that the show is like milk that you need when you're a baby, and you can only digest breast milk, and that's the idea.
Right, right. I thought it was a 6 million year old sound that makes people uncomfortable. I thought that it was a primal, instinctive people upsetter.
All right.
Because it means that one of our species larvae is exposed to a saber-toothed tiger. Because you know that babies cry like that because human babies, they don't have fur. Our primate cousins, like they're covered with this thick layer of fur, like orangutan babies. The babies like kind of they come out and they basically like they just cling to the mom, like her fur, and they kind of like they walk around. They're just clung there forever. It's like a little baby Bjorn until the baby like finally lets go and starts doing its own thing. And a lot of primates like have similar things like that. Like they just cling and wrap around and
tell me more about it.
Primates, monkey super monkeys. Pretty funky, got a big old brain up in their monkey head. Don't fight, they think instead, they make fire.
Sorry, I guess that was great, but you gave me a look like that was a misstep. Yay!
I don't know if Jeff would have cued a wrap up at that point. I was headlong
into... You're right,
into,
I give myself this noise. It's a noise of someone alone at a party. Okay, reset.
Anyways, babies cry because, they're moms. Fucked up my flow, man.
I'm sorry.
A human baby just like has an instinct. If you walk away from it, it just starts crying. Like as soon as it loses sight of a big person to protect it, it just starts going. Which on one hand is a horrible thing to like, draw predators, but human babies require constant protection from the parents, and so the baby has a catastrophic response to the absence of its adult guardians. And the game of peekaboo, I always talk about this, is the mom hides her face from the baby, which the baby instinctively is designed to recognize as a catastrophe, that the face is gone. But kind of senses like I think I can see like the Brechtian narrative here. Like I can see that she's still there, but I lost the face. And then the mom opens the face and goes like, "Woo, peekaboo!" And the baby goes, "Wait, she knows? Like, she knows what that I wanted to die?" And it's like she's fucking around with it. Like, it must not be that big a deal. Like it's like that first time you see Mel Brooks do a Hitler joke, you know. You kind of like just get a big belly laugh and you. Okay, we have to talk about. I don't understand what you brought in your sound effects arsenal and what your intention
Look,
was.
There's a doctor named Dr. Sound Effects.
First of all, that's not true. There's probably a website called Dr. Sound Effects, but I don't think anyone's ever gotten
a
PhD in what you're doing right now. It's
okay. I'll cool it on the sound effects.
Well, no, you don't have to do that. I'd like you to refine your targeting.
Well,
I mean, a slide whistle.
Sorry, that was
okay.
A bad
that's a
puppy.
Dog
no,
whining.
I'll really
that's
cool
a
it.
A puppy being stepped on. Hey, do you have rabbit skinning in there? Because I was gonna tell my duck joke. She's a good kid. she's having a good time. I want to bring Spencer out sooner than later.
All right. Bring out Spencer.
Advanced third edition Spencer Crittenden. Sorry.
What up?
Hey. Spencer, can you believe it?
No.
Spencer has been my buddy on this tour. We've done merch together and spent a lot of time together. And here I am with a bunch of sound effects. making a show happen.
Thanks for holding down the merchandise table back there, Spencer.
Yeah, thank you very much, Spencer.
Yeah, Minneapolis is a self-lining up city, I guess. You guys were great.
Yeah, are they? Yeah, they seem like good people. I really sense that about them. By this time in Madison, somebody had already, for the sixth time, just gone like, Pringles! And diabetes! You were there, because it hasn't podcast yet. Yeah, there was a... diabetes, and then I have to go because the acoustics were bad, and then I go, what? Don't cheer diabetes. No one was going to. Don't stop the show. I mean, we welcome like people with things to get off their chest, but it's not a hockey game. And if it was, cheering diabetes isn't competing with anyone. There's no match that's going to be lost between that team and anyone.
Right. Though I love the idea of someone with diabetes just wanting to be represented. Or like someone in the audience screaming out, arthritis! Do something about arthritis!
Carpal tunnel! Lupus!
Restless leg! Does anyone have an ailment that they want Dan to discuss? IBS?
I mean, IBS writes itself. Let's. What do you have in the front row, sir?
Plantar fasciitis.
Plantar fasciitis, is that related to?
What is your name, sir? I'm going to do what Jeff does. What is your name?
I'm Tony.
Tony, come on up here.
Here, Tony.
Thank you.
Anything you don't want to talk about, you don't have to talk about it. Harmontown is a safe place.
I appreciate that.
Tony, first of all, Tony is wearing a Red Owl t-shirt.
I am.
That was the local grocery store in Milwaukee when I was a kid.
It was the local grocery store in Green Bay when I was a kid.
Do they still exist?
One. And it's in Green Bay.
Oh.
And it's still fighting for its existence.
That logo, it just stirs up like it's... I haven't seen it in so long.
What kind of stuff do they have at the Red?
Oh, God, milk, eggs.
Produce and meat.
You just wouldn't believe it.
Sometimes they put it in bags for you.
Yeah, yeah. Incredible. Aisles and aisles of food with fluorescent lids.
Is it unsuccessful because Red Owl kind of sounds like a hate group? Don't be insulted. No, baby, open that shirt.
Red Owl sounds more like a reverse hate group, like a kind of a militant.
We are the Red Owls. Well, we protect this neighborhood.
It sounds like a very wise socialist organization.
Yeah, we're tired. Like in Latin, it says "never again" over the. And it refers to something that happened to red people.
Never
or
again
owls.
Will we let a sail pass us by.
The Red Owl.
Somebody spilled some milk in aisle 7 and we never forgot.
All right, what's plantar fasciitis? I'll give you one guess. It's when every piece of fungus on your foot unites in a horrible Naziistic regime
which the Red Owls are fighting.
Right.
No, it is foot related, but it is not fungus related. It's severe scarring of the large tendon that runs under your foot.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and it makes you limp, and it makes you look like you're 20 years older than you actually are.
Oh, wait, what do you mean? You mean your gait? It doesn't actually have the effect on you?
No.
Do you have it?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so you're not 8. You just mean it makes you walk like you're 20 years older.
Yeah, it gives you the hobbling gait of a 60-year-old man.
Can you show us?
Oh, Tony, you look very young.
Thank you.
Give us a little runway.
We're gonna have him walk. So, well, I should give you some walking music, I guess.
Right now it's in right now it's in remission. So I used to walk like normal people do, which was back and forth, and then it struck. And sometimes you get up and you use your foot, and it feels like this.
Oh. Oh, because the tendon is, not doing what it's supposed to do.
No, and then so you have to sit down a lot, and people ask you, why are you so lazy?
Oh, and you're like, fuck you, I have Hosgraves.
And they go, does that have something to do with fungus? No.
You play that song again. You know, I was really moved. Tony.
I love you. Your tendons been eaten away. But Tony, the world shoves you. Don't be beaten today. Double rhyme scheme. That was A-B-A-B. No one was impressed, all right?
I was damn impressed.
Okay. Never mind. Fuck it. No. You know what? I have worse than plantar fasciitis. I have audience unappreciatitis. I wish I just couldn't walk. I can't be appreciated.
That's the disease that infects like the lower base of the brain and makes further audience applause completely jaded and meaningless.
Yeah. It definitely undermines anything you get after that. Yeah. It's linked to solicited applause syndrome. Yeah.
That's the worst disease.
Yeah.
Somebody should stop that.
If Dan was a revival tent preacher, someone would come up and say, "I can't walk," and he'd be like, "Really? Because I had a really difficult morning. I was really in my head. I thought a lot about my life, and I didn't know if I've done enough so far. Sit down."
Well, Tony, I have a very special surprise for you. Because here in the audience here in Minneapolis, Twin Town, as I call it, is a fellow castaway from an old improv troupe I used to be in Milwaukee called the Dead Ale Wives. One of my old comedy stage partners, Sean McKenna, is here.
Woo! Let's bring Sean McKenna to the stage! Sorry.
Jesus, sweetie, what is happening? You're like
a stroke.
Holy shit! I'm having a stroke. It's like the second act of RoboCop 2 up here. Just shooting fire hydrants and giving candy to bank robbers.
This is after Kane took him apart and put him together?
Don't scrutinize my knowledge of RoboCop 2.
Wasn't scrutinizing, just clarifying.
No.
It's when they reprogrammed him, you know, and then he was like, you know, you kids can rob the store. I'm RoboCop 2. It's a shitty movie.
Don't smoke.
Oh, hey, Dan, I think someone's at the door. It's Sean McKenna.
Tony will get it. Here's the amazing thing. Look, Tony, Sean McKenna also can't walk.
Oh, my God.
He broke his ankles walking on ice, which
Sean
is why
McKenna,
I left.
If you don't know, was also a member of the Dead Alewives.
Yeah.
Thank you to the three people. Ever heard of us?
Sean tonight just became the first member of the Harmontown Art Players. And we should probably bring Eric Noble up, too. He's in the audience.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
He thought he was safe back there. Very funny gentleman.
Did he start Minneapolis Comedy Sports? I can't remember which city.
He started it, yeah.
No, it started in it?
Oh, it started in it, yeah. He's also working with the huge theater.
Someone's at the door.
Oh, shit. The doorbell's broken.
Oh, it's the second member of the Harmontown Art Players, Eric Noble. Okay, all right. Let's thank Tony and have him limp down to the front row with his plantar fasciitis.
Tony.
Yeah, that ain't shit.
Sorry, Dan, that was a controlling moment.
Check that. I got a pump on it, too.
Oh, that's cool.
Sorry, can't hear that.
Tony, what do you want more than anything in the world? I don't know. Just name something you like.
The newest season of Doctor Who sooner.
Okay. All right. Perfect. Tony would like the newest season of Doctor Who to come sooner. And he has plantar fasciitis, which erodes plantar's fasciitis. Right. It erodes the tendon on his foot and it makes him walk silly.
Right. I guess I'll be playing him.
Probably a good idea. Yeah. Okay. This is a Hallmark movie. Okay. It's a movie of the week and of the heart. Give us
got
a.
Got it.
No. See, that's okay. 1 foot to walk on.
Mom, I'm home.
Tony, is that you?
Yeah, Mom?
I'm here in the kitchen mixing chocolate icing in a bowl like you like it.
Mom?
Tony, you're walking like a fucking idiot.
You're holding your titty in your hand, no, Mom.
I that's my bowl of frosting, so to
but
speak.
Your titty's in it.
Well, I told you it's like you like it.
Thanks, Mom. That's why I've stayed here 25 years. I brought somebody home with me. He's a fellow member of the Doctor Who Society.
Oh.
At school.
Keith. I mean, hello, stranger.
Yes. I've never been here before to your home. Is that a titty in a bowl of something?
Yes, that must be completely...
I wouldn't know it if I saw it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mom. Mom, just be cool while my new friend is here. Because I'm really gimpy. And I got a big beard.
Tony, really, I'm on the clock here. I don't really hang out with gimps, you know, terribly often.
You two probably want your privacy. I'll go in the living room and watch.
No. Why don't you stay?
I'll leave.
Thank you. Jesus Christ, hurry it up, Tony. Seriously. Are you going to try to go up all those stairs right now? Is that what you're going to do?
I can't.
Why is there a rap beat for him going up the stairs?
There's like 21 stairs, Tony.
I got it.
Just remember
throwing my homemade TARDIS.
You have to come back down those stairs at some
point. I'm upstairs now. It's a podcast.
The next day at the hospital. I don't understand the soundtrack at all. Mr. Scott.
Tony.
Tony Scott?
Tony Scott, yes.
Too soon?
I tried to kill myself and...
It's two soundtrack songs. It's a binary movie.
Can I make you a drink?
Mr. Scott, I'm afraid you have plantar fasciitis. It means you'll never be able to walk normally again.
At least I'll get to watch the next season of Doctor Who here.
Tony, there's something I have to tell you. Watching Doctor Who is what has eaten away at the tendon on your foot. You see, British sci-fi programming stimulates a part of the brain that sends a signal to the athletic portions of the body, causing them to wither.
You told my mother?
I mentioned it. Do you have a mother? have I met her?
Everyone met my mother?
I'm sure I told her if I met her. I can't remember.
Just cut it off.
Okay.
I'll never dance again.
I'm going to do it with a lightsaber. Because if I did it with a sonic screwdriver, your other foot would start to rot away.
Maybe if you put it in a teleport machine with a good leg. I don't know, it was a Fly reference. No one's seen that movie in
well,
years.
Let's try it. Oh,
I puked on it.
Okay.
As the fly.
There we go. I'm sorry, the Germans are coming.
Tony story, everybody. everybody, the Tony story. Okay.
Thank God.
1 foot to, yeah, good job. All right.
Wow.
Freestyle, Minneapolis style. Do the... Oh, shit. Yeah.
What?
What? Beastie Boys style.
What?
Yo.
What?
Yo. 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 Sean McKenna limping up here. He's gonna limp around and have another beer. He's Sean McKenna from back in Milwaukee, yo. He fucked his mama so hard that he rolled her in some dough and poked her in the tummy like the Pillsbury boy. He fucked his mama so hard, his dick felt like a toy. Sean McKenna, the what? Antenna,
what?
Receiving
what?
Everything that I'm gonna give him.
Yo. Your rhymes are fresh, your rhymes are fly. I'm investigating the booty like Magna P.I. I'm fucking mama. On the ice, gonna give us some Minnesota nice.
Minnesota got no iota that it's a town like Yoda knows everything. Yoda, I'm gonna fuck your mama like a green man. Fuck her in a Pringles can, put my dick inside it, make it fresh and smooth. Fuck your mom so hard she couldn't move.
Yo mama, I fucked her, she was getting lippy. I fucked her out up on the Mississippi. I fucked her on the ice, it was nice. I fucked her twice, I fucked her thrice.
I fucked your mama 4 times and more. She lost the times table so she couldn't multiply no more. But then she made a little baby for me, and it came out and I said its face looks like pee, cause
yo,
it was...
I fucked your mama doggy style. I fucked your mama like Gomer Pyle. Shazam, that pussy's good. I knew I fucking would.
Yo, Gomer says surprise, surprise. I fucked your mama in her mouth and came between her eyes. I fucked your mama north, I fucked your mama south, I fucked your mama in her ear and her mouth.
Yeah!
Hammering, hammering, hammering.
Dan Harmon, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Sean McKenna.
Sean McKenna,
sorry
before,
about your ankle.
Before we
Eric
say goodbye,
Noble.
Before we say goodbye to Sean, very quickly, maybe we can do a speed version of this. Once upon a time, who's familiar with Who's on First by Abbott and Costello? Well, these guys used to do a little variation on Who's on First. They would do Who's on First with Abbott and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
It was a very cutting-edge comedic bit that we were doing as early as 94, 95.
Yeah, sure.
Who's going to be Abbott and who's going to be Arnold?
I don't know. Which one was Abbott?
I'd like to see Sean McKenna as Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Let's do Arnold and Arnold. Like that.
We'll do Arnold and Arnold.
We got really drunk one night and did Arnold and Arnold. This is Arnold and Arnold.
Do I need a mic stand?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. They really, you know.
Yeah, you need full focus on this mentally.
Well, I just need something to lean on.
Right.
And now presenting the Harmontown players, Arnold and Arnold.
Hey, Arnold.
Yeah.
Listen, I got a baseball team.
Nice.
All right. I got to learn the name of the players.
The players. I have the list right here.
Okay, then tell them to me.
Who's on first?
Okay, I don't understand what you're saying.
Who's on first?
Why would someone named Who be on first?
Who is on first?
Okay, well, that's a dumb name.
I don't know. It's on second.
I don't know either.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Thank you.
Let's hear it for Sean McKenna and Eric.
Wow. From humble beginnings, Arnold and Arnold.
Hey guys, sorry to interrupt Dan's drunken ramblings. I'm Jeff Davis from Harmontown, here to talk about Warby Parker glasses. Do you need glasses? Do you wear glasses? Is your eyesight all fucked from playing Bubble Witch or whatever the stupid app game you play? My eyes are just dying from these stupid games. You stare at it and then you try to look up and you can't see shit. I'm 43 and my eyes are dying because of Bubble Witch. God damn it. Warby Parker has glasses that are really cool. They're kind of vintagey, retro-y kind of stuff, and they look great, and they're cheap as shit. They're less expensive than glasses generally are, which is dumb because people need them. Or maybe you don't need glasses and you just want to look professorial and kind of groovy. Warby Parker makes it very easy to order glasses. They have a free home try-on program where you order 5 pairs of glasses, you try them on for 5 days, there's no obligation to buy them, it ships for free, and you can ship them back for free. You go to warbyparker.com/Harmon to order your free home try-ons today. The glasses start at $95, which is cheap. That includes prescription lenses, anti-glare and anti-scratch coatings, and every pair you buy, another pair is distributed to someone in need. I'm hoping that it's refugees. I mean, because Syrians, holy shit, they need glasses. I did it. I ordered them. They come so easy. Boom. There's a box. There's a bunch of glasses in there. You pick the ones you like. You look in the mirror and you go, these suck, these suck, these rule. You pick the ones that you like. Also, if you don't have any personal awareness or any sense of identity, after you get your glasses from warbyparker.com/Harmon, you can also go to the Warby Parker app from the iTunes App Store, which allows you to quickly take photos wearing all the frames, stitch it into a video, and share it with friends and family to help you pick a winner. Because you don't know what you like. You need other people's opinions because you're a spineless ooze. WarbyParker.com/Harmon. They're glasses. They're cheap. They're awesome. Fuck you. Back to Harmon.
I feel like Eric Noble got the short end of tonight's stick. It kind of came up and we didn't really.
Someone should really control this show.
Yeah, we didn't really use him. He's very talented, very funny, very
Maybe
handsome,
we'll bring
very
him
handsome
up later.
Too. Yeah, his brother's here.
Very handsome.
Spencer, I'm being attacked by...
Arnold Monster.
What's that?
Arnold Monster.
I'm being attacked by an Arnold Monster.
Okay.
Someone yelled out.
Someone approaches you. He's about 4'7" or so. He pushes small children out of his way and says, "Get to the chopper!" That's all.
All right. You want to hit that Spencer theme when we do that? It's her first night control.
I'm having iPad troubles.
Yeah, I'm not so good at the references, if you'll recall.
Oh, there it is. Okay. Yeah, we don't like to do the Hollywood stuff
slowly.
To Spencer.
Sorry. Force of habit.
Spencer grew up in a basement that he still lives in. There's no TV in there. It's just Dungeons and Dragons books. And he's a genius. Spencer, I'm being attacked by shit.
Lack of sound engineering skills.
Walking into a non-acoustically tuned space, you suddenly realize that the variables aren't exactly lining up right. You clap your hands and hear your hands clapping. It's a strange sensation. I'm not worthy.
Spencer, I'm being attacked by
a hot dish.
Oh, sorry, what?
Hot dish.
A hot dish? I'm being attacked by a hot dish.
Is that a colloquialism?
It's a casserole. I'm being attacked by a hot casserole dish.
Unfurling the noodles widely with an array of various meat sauces, you see the ricotta cheese dripping off the noodles. Dinner is served.
Yeah, one guy initiated a standing O for that. And he wasn't. You know, he's not a fat guy. He wasn't applauding the casserole. He was applauding Spencer's GM skills. All right. Is there anybody in the audience? I'm gonna go out and work the crowd. You got
cool.
You got some crowd working music.
In the meanwhile, I'm gonna play Polar Bear on Ice.
No.
I don't understand. I'd like to work the back of the crowd because these people come and they don't. Is this what I sound like back here? That was weird. It's like those Discovery World exhibits where you talk on the phone and you hear yourself in the ear but on a delay. I can't. Mm-hmm. I can barely pull it together back here. Like my lips move and then a second later I hear my lips move. It probably sounds less exciting on the podcast. It probably sounds less exciting for everybody. This is just for me right now. Abracadabra, dabba 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 dabba. 3 hours later, wow, syllabus, red leather, yellow leather. What's your name?
Sam.
No, it's not. Crowd working. Sam. Sam, did your parents hit you?
I don't remember.
Well, then yes. How, like with implements? My dad hit me with a belt.
Your mother hit you with implants?
No. No. He said your mother hit you with implants? No, I said did they hit you with implements? My dad, for instance, hit me with a belt. Did your parents hit you with anything, like a wooden spoon or...
No, I think before I had any memories I was spanked, but like I said, it must have hit me pretty hard.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man. Hey, Dan.
Yeah.
I have a bunch of animal sound effects up here that are pretty obscure. I'm going to play an animal sound effect. You pick a partner out there, and you guys can try to guess what the animal sound effect is. As an experiment.
Okay, I like Sam.
All right.
Are we competing? Am I competing with Sam?
No. Well, let's see. Gentleman with the checker. Yes, yes. You holding your shirt. What's your name?
Max.
Max.
Two T's.
Matt. Oh, it's Matt, like the actual name. Okay, got it. Because Matt's isn't a name. Would you run up and join Spencer? Would you be Spencer's partner? Welcome to Guess the Sound Effect. I'm so sorry that your dad hit you.
But he didn't really. I mean, he's, yeah.
He didn't
just,
really?
I think they just probably smacked him in the butt when he touched a stove or something.
I was talking about your dad.
Oh, my dad. Yeah. He knocked me around bad.
Okay. I was going to say, if your dad didn't hit you, why am I turned on by you all the time? All right, here we go. Animal sound effects. And just to give you an example, this animal sound effect is called a dingo fight.
Dingoes.
Fighters.
Wait, where is that? Uh-oh. Oh, there it is.
Dingoes?
Anyway, that's dingo fight.
Okay.
All right, okay. Here we go. I'm going to play a sound effect, and the team to get closest to it the quickest wins. Don't know why I said it like that.
It's fancy.
I made it like I was a Jewish man at a deli for no reason. All right, here we go. Name an animal.
The teapot bird.
Sam said the teapot bird.
Teapot bird? No.
Swarming June bugs.
That's pretty close. It was fly swarm in Roebuck Bay, Australia. Very good. 1 point to audience dwellers.
Okay, let's play to two.
All right, here we go. Question number two.
Well, that's
horse. A capybara.
Donkey.
Donkey. That is brain donkey in Brazil with parrots.
All right, this is the tiebreaker. Here it comes.
All right, Jeff. I know you're listening to this podcast.
We may edit this part out. I, as a rule, I edit all the stuff out that the audience is able to do in their car on the way here.
Jeff, I'll do better. It's going to get better. All right, here we go.
Howler monkey. Nope. Non-howler monkey.
Bird. Some kind of bird.
Rhesus macaque.
I know what that is. That's one of those little fuckers. A fox.
Dingo's fighting again.
A double weasel.
Angry sloth.
You guys were close with Gibbon. Gibbon. Gibbon goes to the stage chief, and they are the winner.
It's okay. We did all right. Let's have a hand for Sam back
here. And you win not having to talk to me about this bit after the show.
Right. That's not, everyone's free to fail here at Harmontown. You're not supposed to come up with a game show on the fly. That's not your responsibility, baby. Baby, I love you.
I love you too.
Someone booed love. I heard one guy boo love. Who was it? All right, what's your name?
Josh. Bring him up to the stage.
Josh booed love. Come on up,
can
Josh.
Let's go. Josh. I may be bad with sound effects, but I can fucking talk love all day.
All right.
Let's do it.
Let's play a segment called Who Hurt You?
It was Dan Herman.
Let's also play a segment called No, None of Your Friends Would Hold Your T-Shirt.
I'm sorry I bought one.
No, it's okay. I'm sorry, Josh?
Yes, that's
yes,
right.
Yes, okay.
All right, Josh.
Jeff writes down everybody's name on a
Who hurt you, Josh?
I don't think anybody did.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, why boo love?
Why not?
Are you booing our love specifically, or just love in general?
No, I don't know. Your love kind of destroyed an episode, kind of. A few nights ago. I love you guys, seriously.
Must be tired.
Were you bummed out that there was one less free episode that was funny? There happened to be.
It was just awkward.
I agree.
Is it more or less awkward than not communicating with people? Like if we're like five questions deep into a conversation and every answer is I don't know or nothing or like or a snarky comeback, like is that graceful or is that you don't know, do
what's
you?
What's your point?
I come from the mind space that it's like it's better to go with the flow and kind of like say what's on your mind. You can't tell me there's not one person in the war in the history of your life that like hurt you.
Maybe.
I feel like Josh might have a bigger issue with me.
Oh, not at all.
I think you're projecting. No, come on. One. How many? I mean, what, like, I'm not even going to assume. Like what? You've had relationships, right?
Yeah.
Was there one that ended that you didn't want to end?
I suppose that's probably true.
Yeah. And
when you did your podcast tour across the country, when there were stresses
you've seen my podcast?
How did you deal about it? I love your podcast. The Vest Cast. I love it.
Great. This is going down a bad road. This is not a Harmontown. This is not a road to Harmontown.
Okay, I'm celebrating his best.
He booed love. We brought him up. We're not going down his wardrobe. We want to get to know him, talk to him, try to break through to something human. No, I don't want to hug him.
I think this is a nice thing to talk about. Josh, why do you feel our love ruined a podcast?
The podcast was going and it was a lot of fun, and then it just kind of hit this weird train wreck, and I don't know.
It's okay, guys. It's true.
It's true. I'm just saying how I feel, man.
Yeah.
I was kind of into it. I liked it, but I guess it was about me. I guess if it was about someone else's relationship, I'd be like, I don't know. I can't really listen to it through anyone else's ears, though. I didn't know. It was probably like a half hour longer than it needed to be, like in terms of talking about relationships.
I mean, to be honest, I listened to the entire thing. So I mean, it's not like I turned it off or anything.
You were riveted.
Well, I'm sorry for making the podcast not funny. Josh is mad at me, Dan. I'm telling you.
He's mad at you?
Yes, he is. That's it's okay. I mean, I'm the girlfriend who came on stage and was in a tizzy. And as I explained in the Chicago podcast, was upset about a previous fight and things.
Can
you know,
I walk
whatever.
You guys through an alternate scenario?
Yes.
Woo! Okay, Dan's in the crowd talking to people. Something happens about love. Some bunch of people start cheering. Feeling the need to break the mold, he boos whatever reaction is being cheered.
Right.
Called out by Dan, he acquiesces coming up on stage. Proceeds to fail to answer the questions you want him to ask, and when he comes to a question he can ask, he answers in a way he hopes will be entertaining, and is then torn apart for it.
The real star of the show, of course, is Spencer.
I think we're all just raw and vulnerable up here, you guys. It's fine.
Well, I know, and this isn't a dig, but I know that everything that you say up here, Josh, as you're speaking honestly about your feelings, you're going to make sure that it's hilarious.
I like it when people laugh. Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I'm sorry for that that podcast not being very funny.
You already said that. In order for Josh to be mad at you, I think Josh would have to be in love with me. Like he's mad at our relationship. He doesn't think that it makes for entertaining. Like he was like, well, we were having fun in the Pittsburgh show, and then all of a sudden we were talking about things that are kind of common, probably, like the sound of a man and a woman, like going back and forth about who hurt who more and who needs to change and who doesn't need to change. It's kind of like, for some people, might be riveting, and for other people, inaccessible. Virgins! Not kidding. That was a dumb, obvious, easy joke. It's stupid. All right, yeah. I think Spencer's theory is the most accurate. I think that I think Josh is dressed perfectly. We're all good human beings. Aaron's doing a great job. I thought the Pittsburgh show was excellent. Unpredictable turns and all. And
I do want to say to Josh, and I said this in the Chicago show, but if there's any worry that Dan was going to censor himself because I talked about something that bummed me out. He definitely isn't. And that's an understandable fear, and I'm sorry about that. That's all.
Adventure. All right, Josh, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for...
Also, Matt, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, yeah, we
thank
got
you.
Poor Matt.
Oh, Matt, I'm
Wait,
so
Matt,
sorry.
Matt,
where's the controller?
Matt, come up here for a second. For you guys listening in the audience and podcast land, like Matt is the name of the guy that was on Spencer's team during a sound effects game show that may or may not be in the edited show you're listening to. He was put on a team with Spencer and has been standing behind me next to Spencer, just kind of hanging out this
he
entire time.
He guessed a donkey, yeah.
Great seat though.
Yeah.
Horrendously great seat.
But it's hard to tell if we edit out Josh or the audio game show or the we don't know what will be frog DNA and what will be dinosaur DNA.
Or after the show, will it just seem like no one was controlling?
Right, right. or there was no show. Like it'll be like, ladies and gentlemen, good night.
Gong.
Matt, like I think you've paid your dues. Let's get to know you and touch your heart.
Please do.
What are you from Minneapolis?
I am from Minneapolis.
What do you do? What do you do here?
I'm a writer.
You're a writer? Oh,
yes.
Wow. What kind of writing?
Corporate writer.
Oh, what is that? Oh, now get specific. What is that? What does that entail?
Business writer, advertising, that kind of thing.
Like a gun for hire, or you work for a company?
I work for a company.
Can you say which one?
I can't, unfortunately.
Okay. Microsoft.
There we go.
What?
My fiance just said CIA, so.
What? Wait, no, not really. Shut up.
Yeah, no.
If someone says they can't say who they work for, and then they go, CIA, it could be true. I don't know.
I hate to be so secretive.
No, you just don't want to. It's McDonald's or something, and you don't want to be in a podcast saying.
I want to still be employed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did a show in Chicago, and I was kind of like, oh, I just started talking about the people I'm working for, and I that hasn't podcast yet, but I cringe a little bit when I hear it. It's awesome, though, so it has to go out there. But I, unlike you, I make my living getting fired. Like that is that is my livelihood. In a roundabout way, I'm like a weird kind of like a frog with an ass for a head that jumps. Wow, the sound of a frog. All right, Matt, what's your favorite movie? You know, I mean, a favorite movie. I hate it when people ask that too.
Okay, a favorite movie, A Serious Man.
A Serious Man.
Oh, that is a great movie.
Yeah.
That's a really underrated, once, wonderful movie.
Yeah, I like that movie.
Which Red Owl played a part in.
Red Owl.
Whoa.
All right, now we got an... Okay, who said fuck you really angrily to...
What? A silly man said fuck you.
I mean, please come up for... Like, I mean... I'm going to make this assumption about a Harmontown audience that even though on paper someone yelling out fuck you
come over here, sir
shouldn't be rewarded in maybe a regular show
here.
But usually people here have something
What's
on their mind.
What's your name?
My name's Joe.
Hi, Joe.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Joe, explain the reaction.
Thank you for welcoming me to Harmontown.
Oh, no problem.
Comptrolling disaster.
Spencer narrated.
All right, we got it.
Okay.
Me versus the microphone.
They just fixed the microphone for the podcast listeners.
We got it.
I feel important now. I'm up on stage, so what are we doing?
Joe, well, you're going to tell people why you yelled fuck you out.
What were you yelling fuck you in response to?
Honestly?
No, not honestly. Lie to us. Huh, this guy, right, guys?
Yes.
Please, dear God, honestly.
Yes. Just kidding.
It was strictly to get on stage.
But so you were really saying fuck you?
Right.
You're kind of giving me bedroom eyes a little bit.
Okay, so this is an interesting phenomenon here.
I'm sorry, Dan.
Everyone shut up and press. I'm going to press pause here for a second because this is a very, very interesting thing that's happening here for the second time in a row. So we finally hit this point. In Harmontown, people who like say things in the audience that are compelled to say things, they get to come up on stage and we talk to them until we get to know them. And now we've reached this point where that's the second guy who just like Spencer said, like someone wants to be different from the pack. They're like specifically saying things so that they can come up on stage. And at which point we're wringing a dry rag, just talking to a person. Hey, what do you want more than anything? To be on stage. To have my name exist, to stand.
Is that totally true? Were you really saying that?
I am not a dry rag.
Okay, that was dehumanizing. I apologize. But your motivation was not, you didn't want to come up and talk about A Serious Man being his favorite movie.
Not at all.
You said fuck you. For the same reason that Josh booed Love, you said fuck you.
No, fuck Josh for booing Love.
Now, there, you're changing your story.
It's not all attack, Josh.
All right. You sit down.
Thank you. I'll go sit down.
Thank you for coming up here. Maybe tonight and maybe in further shows, instead of yelling something like, fuck you, maybe say like, bananas in my pants! Or like something obscure.
All right, website. Bananas in my pants guy, come up here, come up here. All right.
Come over this way.
Sorry, I thought like a dozen people would say it like at the same time.
Okay, all right. That was a misfire. Okay.
So you're a team player. What's your name, fella?
My name is Jaffer. It's okay if you don't get it.
Jaffer?
Yeah. Oh, no, you got it on the first try. That's awesome.
All right, like an exotic gaffer.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, I apply tape to things and in an exotic way, an exotic brown skin way. Thank you.
What do you do, Jaffer?
I gave Spencer my card. I'm the event coordinator for Fantasy Flight Games, and I gave Fantasy.
Is that like planes that have jungles on them? What is that? What is Fantasy Flight?
Oh, Fantasy Flight Games is a hobby game company. We're located in Rosewood. This is so, it's like sales tech.
Well, no, this is your crowd.
No, we're tabletop game, role playing games.
Oh, really? Oh, cool. I love games.
This is so weird. I really didn't expect this to happen.
He thought everyone would go bananas. All right.
That's why you're a hero. It's fine.
All right. He already got his plug. It's the name of his store. If you're in Minneapolis and you do things.
We're a publisher. We publish games.
All right. God damn it. So
Jaffer, everybody. Thank you,
all right,
Jaffer.
Jaffer loves bananas in his pants. All right. Matt, we were talking about your favorite movie.
Yes.
Fuck that.
No.
All right. Let's hear it for Matt also, ladies and gentlemen. He loves A Simple Man. All right. Okay. Well, not a good idea to work the crowd. A little bit of a mistake.
No, the
fuck
cat's
you.
Game.
Fuck you. Fuck, absolutely fuck you. No more Q&A.
There's a time during every Harmon show where the end of my nose starts to tingle and my
lips... you have to go back to the powder room?
No. And my lips start to plump and I start feeling stronger and it's D&D time.
Should I pass out the characters?
Yes, please dispense the characters,
yes.
Spencer.
All right, then be entertaining.
Hey, everybody. This really is a wonderful city and a cool space, so congrats on you. Hey to the guy with the UCB hat up front. It's cool.
I don't know.
Oh, just saying hello. Stay where you are. We'll talk after. I screwed up this music. I'm sorry. I'll do it over again.
What's the other the twin cities is the St. Paul, yeah.
So do you guys all know Garrison Keillor?
No.
Is that a hack joke?
No.
So you hate Garrison Keillor?
Yeah. Yeah, fuck that guy.
Whoa. No, I'm sorry. Who hates Garrison Keillor? You. Why do you what's your name?
He talks too slow.
He talks too slow? Is that your only reason for disliking him?
That's it.
Does anyone have a better reason for disliking Garrison Keillor? Yes.
Right.
Ah.
Right.
What?
Minnesota.
All right. Yeah, that is a little annoying. She said he sings. That's true. Like, he puts himself in everything.
Yeah, it's his fucking show.
Yeah, it is. It's his show. Says Arthur Keillor in the back row.
If you've just joined us, Aaron asked, "Do you guys like Garrison Keillor?" To 225-year-olds, who shockingly replied, "No."
There was a mixed reaction.
The answer to the question "Why not?" is he's 109 years old. His show is 70 hours long. He sings and talks about being in a city. He's the Dan Harmon of the future. But then everyone started yelling at each other. Then one guy, I'm relaying this to the podcast people because no one can hear people in the audience. Then another guy said, "It's his fucking show," about Garrison Keillor, like kind of a punk rock guy sticking up for Garrison Keillor. And then people are going back and forth. And now you're all caught up if you're listening to this in podcast form.
I like that guy. He likes rhubarb pie and powder milk.
Rhubarb pie.
Dan, can you do a monologue as Garrison Keillor about your day?
I'd like to do it about rhubarb pie.
Jimmy, your dog Pomero, Jimmy Stewart, right now.
I woke up this morning in Lake Wobegon with a tremendous erection.
Bane from Batman. just go with it. Be Bane as Garrison Keillor, as you.
My cock, Batman, is stronger than your body.
All right, very good. Let's do some D&D.
The weather in Lake Wobegon, Gotham, Lake Gotham. The people will no longer stand for rhubarb pie. Margaret made her famous fruit cake and brought it over to the Jacobsons' house for what promised to be a perfectly ordinary Thanksgiving. The embers were warm. The crime was rampant. And the justice was ultimately mine.
All right.
Batman.
Bane Dan Harmon, everybody.
That's the news from Lake Gotham, where the children are victims. The poor are enslaved, and everyone's spirit will be broken.
And here we go. That was great.
Bane.
A cold, misty morning fades as the gray sun rises overhead, revealing the head of a mysterious robed warrior. He gestures at you and makes a compelling offer. Would you like to be a samurai? Would you take the way of the warrior? All it would take is to start snacking healthy with Nature Box. You make as to leave, but the Nature Box samurai is instantly in your path. Nature Box makes snacks that actually taste great and are better for you, created with high-quality ingredients that are free from artificial colors, flavors, or sweeteners, so you can feel great about snacking. The samurai reveals a Nature Box from his robes. His hands are aflash as he produces a box. A Nature Box full of Masa Crisps and Cherry Berry Bonanza. Nature Box recently made their service even better, so now you can order as much as you want as often as you want with no minimum purchases, and you can cancel at any time. And you'll never get bored because there's new snacks each month inspired by real customer feedback. And if you ever... Oh, shit. Ninjas. Nature Box recently made their service even better. Now you can order as much as you want, as often as you want, with no minimum purchase required, and you can cancel any time. With Nature Box, you never get bored. There are new snacks each month inspired by real customer feedback, and if you ever try a snack you don't like, Nature Box will replace it for free! The ninjas fall to the ground, defeated by superior snacking. It's simple. Go to naturebox.com and check out their snack catalog. There are over 100 to choose from, and they're constantly adding delicious new snacks. Choose the snacks you want, and they'll deliver them right to your door. And right now, you'll save even more. Sheathing his sword, the samurai continues down the road, away from you. Foes defeated, he sheathes his sword and begins to walk away. But he turns. And one more thing. Right now, you'll save even more. NatureBox is offering Harmontown fans 50% off your first order when you go to naturebox.com/Harmontown. And in an instant, he's vanished. But his voice still lingers on the wind. That's naturebox.com/Harmontown for 50% off your first order. That's naturebox.com/Harmontown. Snack like a warrior.
Spencer, tell us what happened. Catch us up in D&D land.
When we last met our heroes, deep within the Infinifish, were journeying with Valis and the swordsman into the digestive tract of the beast. After defeating a mysterious ice dog monster, the group split up, each traveling down a different passage. Mulrain fell down a slippery slide, while Quark found a strange organ hanging from the ceiling. Using the mysterious silver staff, Sharpie climbed up into a lattice of veins and tubules before finding a mysterious membranous wall. Quark and Mulrain caught back up with Sharpie, and together the group entered the large organ. Immediately, a blob of sickly yellow ooze dripped down, and several lightning spiders skittered into the organ from above.
It was time to fight. All right, less dramatically. Let me set the stage. You guys had just slashed through the wall of a giant organ and climbed inside, and a large blob of goo dropped down from the ceiling, and it was followed by, like, sparks of light that kind of skittered around as if they had spidery limbs.
Right, right.
So, in this episode, do we pretend Jeff isn't there, or do we...
For the purposes of this this episode, Quark will be played by Spencer Crittenden.
Yeah.
Yeah!
Thanks, guys.
Man, Quark's going to like Moraine in this episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Let's work together.
Take notes, man. The Dungeon Master's playing a character.
Hey, Spencer, let's glue our arms together for life so when Jeff comes back, we're one being. Just an idea.
That's a good plan.
All right, so these are spider creatures?
There's spider lightning creatures and a multi-limbed blob on the ground.
Multi-limbed blob, spider, lightning spider creatures.
Sounds like a day at the office. Oh.
Festival.
I just tasted what Rob Schneider had for lunch last Wednesday.
Spencer, are the lightning spiders trying to attack us?
As it happens, the lightning spiders are crawling over the cut that you slashed in the wall. They're sewing it back together. Huh. The slimy blob whips around a tendril or two, and goo is cast all about the organ. It seems like it's going to be hard to move about.
Well, I appreciate the craftiness.
Yeah.
Because the goo is sticky? Or
you haven't touched it, but goo tends to be.
You haven't met my goo.
Oh, damn.
Smooth as silk.
Yeah. Slippery as a baby in January.
Chewy as blueberry bubblegum.
All right. And there's no way we're getting out of this room without either retreating, which doesn't even seem possible because the hole's being sewed up, or confronting this thing. Like, we're not able to be the coward that I'd like to be.
Correct.
Okay.
Two of the lightning creatures approach.
I shoot two arrows. At the lightning creatures.
Adventure. What kind of arrows?
Adventure arrows?
Nope.
No, you have yeah, the special kind that are good for shooting.
Regular arrows, good arrows, sleep arrows,
no,
V arrows.
See. Does good just mean like good skill or like I'm a good person?
It does extra
while I'm
damage against evil creatures.
Okay, I shoot two good arrows.
All right.
What was that, Sharpie?
I remember him telling you there was a type of arrow you had that is optimized for multiple arrow shooting.
Yeah.
Isn't that true?
It's true. I already rolled the dice.
The arrows?
One of your good arrows strikes the lightning directly in the center of mass. It does 6 damage.
Thank you. Spencer, are my double arrows the V arrows?
Yeah,
the rabbit
V arrows.
Okay, cool. Sorry,
yep,
guys.
Yep.
What about her second arrow? I got a bad feeling about this.
That just missed. It didn't go into anything comically.
All right.
It went to heaven. God ate it.
All right. Now, sir, I have to warn you. I don't know if you heard the Brooklyn show, but after giving Ray of Frost its own theme song, we found out it is a level 0 spell that does a maximum of 3 damage. We're going to need to start getting enthusiastic about what I'm told is my most powerful spell, Scorching Ray!
Scorching Ray is here.
Scorching Ray, gonna burn a motherfucker. Fuck your mama. Okay, done.
I'm sorry.
Who do you fire it at? There's the slime blob and some lightning things.
Oh! I'm scorching Ray at the tentacle that's making the goo.
Sounds good. You strike it, dealing some amount of damage. 19 damage.
Whoa!
Going down the aisle! Everyone's prepared now! My relationship with the audience is back! Until I say something racist. Indian people, what's wrong with them? Oh, shit, I lost it again. All right, Scorching Ray. High fives to everybody in Minneapolis. Fucked your mama like an Acropolis. Who's at the door? Is it
fun.
Timing? Is it my...
Come on, in fun. You were in here already. We got two funds.
Fun's
we'll get along
at the
with
door.
This fun.
All right. Sorry about that, podcast listeners. You don't get the joy that humans get out of
Dan
high five.
Just ran out into the audience and high-fived everyone.
Dan
everyone is very
ran
excited.
Out into the audience, giving salutations and greetings with his physical hand to the populace of Lake Wobegon. The pies were cooling. The mashed potatoes were ripe. And the cranberries were...
above average.
Cran. Batman?
Sorry. Scorching Ray, 19 damage. I got a little excited.
Quark pipes up. Hey, guys.
What's that? I licked vodka out of my own mustache, and a guy in the front row went, oh. I never had... First of all, I did it because I was excited. Second of all, it was delicious. So I had that double pleasure, but then a third of my brain became shameful.
He was excited. He has a liquor on facial hair.
It
fetish.
Reminded me of like the playground when I found out like or the bathroom in grade school when all the kids started laughing at me at the urinal because I didn't know until sixth grade that you're not when you pee at a urinal you're not supposed to pull your underwear and pants all the way down to your ankles. And pee like a little cartoon
adorable.
Boy from a
you
Norman Rockwell.
You were like a Norman Rockwell painting.
Sorry, Spencer.
Quark pipes up. Hey guys, I have a frog in my throat, but I'm ready to fight. I'm a barbarian. I fight things.
Yeah,
hey, Quark.
I tell Quark to go into a kind of Zen state where the universe. A.K.A. the Dungeon Master, kind of optimizes his behavior and his choices.
I don't know about that. I thought I might just go into a barbarian rage.
Yeah!
But first, you gotta... If something happens to me, you gotta take my smoke sticks. I'm trying to quit, but...
Here, we'll grab your smoke sticks.
Oh, grabbing here. His smoke sticks, he whips out his sword. His muscles rise and grow in mass as he falls into the barbarian rage. Red goes over his eyes as all semblance of reason exits his head and he charges himself directly at the slime monster. And he misses.
Sharpie.
Yes.
I know this might be dangerous, but I have a few... I have 20, but I can only shoot two at a time. I have V arrows.
Yeah, those are optimized for shooting
V
more than one.
Stands for?
What?
Nothing.
What did you?
I shoot two vagina arrows. Spiders. Which means that they're complicated, smooth, and pink.
And they have teeth, right?
Just mine.
Oh,
just
is that
mine.
A myth?
Your arrows fail to hit their mark. They plant harmlessly in the side of the membrane.
Well, it was still cute. It's still cute what they did.
Arguable. One of the lightning creatures approaches and jumps directly on Sharpie's face.
No!
You take 6 damage and you have a thing on your face.
That's a secondary effect.
Yep.
I only have 24 hit points total. Was I at full health before this fight started?
Yeah, you got some of those crystals from the broken healing pendant, so you guys are all at full health.
Okay. Spencer, when do I get an animal?
I want to say 4th level, maybe 5th.
So today?
No. No. I'm no.
Well, just going to utilize the powers of the secret and just say I'd like an
animal. Hey, get this thing off my face.
Yeah. I take a single sure shot arrow.
Oh, okay. Is that a thing? Did I write that?
Oh, yeah. It says always hits every time, and my name is Spencer, and I'm going to give you a spirit animal.
Awesome.
Crazy. It's all on here.
You fire the arrow directly into your foot.
Okay. All right. I shoot a good arrow.
Did you really have an arrow that's a sure shot?
No.
Aaron. Aaron.
I know these
There's
things,
a lot
you guys.
Of pressure as a comptroller. That's
a lot,
what,
a lot of
that's
pressure to lie.
This no.
To make up an arrow.
I'm in a Muppet voice.
Oh, Aaron.
I shoot a baby arrow into Sharpie's heart. I shoot a good arrow.
Okay.
I shoot a good arrow.
Okay.
And I shoot it good.
At his face?
No, I shoot it at the spider.
On his face?
Well, if it's on his face right now, then yes.
Yeah, but there's also other spiders, so I mean.
Well, the one that is most threatening, Sharpie.
So the one on his face. This is clarification. It's important.
Yes, the one on his face. Unless there's another one that's threatening him more.
Nope. Pulling an arrow from your quiver, you loose it directly at his face.
Oh, you seem
to think this might not be the best of ideas.
Spencer!
This was your idea!
It couldn't have
been more elucidated. Like, you guys had a 10-minute conversation about whether you're going to shoot me in the fucking face.
It strikes the lightning spider in one of his several spidery limbs.
Yay!
He takes 5 damage.
At least that's something, and I didn't hit you in the face.
Wounded, the animal skitters away.
Ugh.
Hey! Yeah!
Holy
fuck you!
Fucking
doubters!
Charles Burroughs, what was his name?
The slime whips a wicked tendril directly at Mulrain. It strikes you right in the leg and grasps. You feel the burn of acid against your flesh, and you take 8 damage.
I guess I deserve this.
You're also being grappled.
Oh.
That means stuff.
What?
That means stuff, but I mean, yeah. Like, rules-wise, but don't worry about it.
I keep forgetting what Mage Hand is. Can I?
It lets you telekinetically move around light objects.
All right, fine. Rhea Frost, sir, come on. Why don't you marry it? It is a maximum 3 hit point damage spell.
Scorching Frost.
It's not. It's Scorching Ray, sir. Not Scorching Frost.
At this point in the podcast, I'd like to implore anyone either named Ray Frost or from a town called Frost named Ray to come to the podcast, because there will be a crown on your head.
If there was a spell called Scorching Frost, don't you think that the net effect of it would be minimal?
Scorching Frost is a glass of water.
I want to cast Burning Hands, if it's my turn, on the grappling tentacle to try to get it to release its grip from my face-shooting girlfriend.
Fanning your hands wide, you emit a thin flame, sheet of flame. It deals 9 damage and slices the tentacle in half.
And he slashed the tentacle.
I attack. That was Quark attacking in a rage.
Oh, nice. I thought that was the tentacle.
No, I was just having an episode, you guys. He critically hits.
We call that the Mitch Hurwitz.
Dealing 22 damage and felling the slime. Wow. Only 4 lightning spiders remain.
Hmm. All right.
They scuttle to the ceiling.
Well, All right. Well, it sounds like they're getting out of our way.
Well,
right?
they are. They're out of your way now. Now you're in an organ.
So the tentacle thing is done?
The tentacle thing's done. Spiders on the ceiling. They're just kind of watching at this point.
All right. Well, we should get out of this room and then
it's a lung.
It's a lung.
Yeah, someone's been paying attention. Prince Valicent pipes up. Hey, guys, we came around to destroy this fish from the inside, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, are you going to...
So do you want to destroy it from the inside? I'm saying let's slice this mother up!
Also, somebody in the audience yelled out smoke sticks. If we're sitting in the lung, let's Yul Brynner this motherfucker.
It's almost as if I set you up for it all along.
I know. Well, then you said slices. Yeah. All right.
Throwing the pack of smoke sticks on the ground.
And we do that, and then I also light on my torches.
Lighting your torches in unison with the throwing of the smoke sticks, acrid smoke is released into the lung. You hear violent spasms for a while.
We should maybe I don't know if our job is to get out of here or stay and be coughed up or.
Let's see you next time, cliffhanger.
Okay, fine. Yeah, good idea. All right, Spencer, ladies and gentlemen.
Spencer. Thanks, Spencer.
Gathering his character sheets. The Viking-like figure in his red tartan sweat jacket proceeds off the stage and into the 20 below weather wearing his shorts from Los Angeles. You don't know if he'll live or die. His beard seems scarf-like, but will it save him from hypothermia? He's entitled to a save versus...
That was an
okay.
Accident.
All right. It's all right. Working out the kinks.
Do you want me to leave the stage?
No, you don't have to.
Just making sure.
I never want you to leave the stage, Spencer. Well,
thanks, you guys over here.
Not only do I not want you to leave the stage, I want you to get into my bed. For the podcast listeners, there is a very expensive heart-shaped bed raising on a platform right now with pyrotechnics going off all around it, and Isaac Hayes is playing a keyboard in the corner. But it's on mute. Spencer, get into my bed. Gonna fuck your mama in her head. Put my dick into her Spencer mom's eye. I rolled her pussy die. Yo, rolled her pussy die. Got a 3 and a 4. Added it up and got a bonus and more. With my vorpal dick, I wanna put it in it. I put my dick in your mama's cave and dungeoned it. I went down to the spelunka depths. Fuck your mama so hard she looked like death. She was a skull and bones. I fucked your mama so hard. She said, don't leave me alone. Spencer's daddy came in and said, what's going on? I said, holy shit. Sorry.
Down to Harmon Town.
Turn that frown upside down. Oedipus.
These yellow poop is brown.
Myth.
Come on down to Harmon Town.
Working the crowd, going down the aisle, fucking your mama mile after motherfucking mile. Twin Cities got St. Paul and Minneapolis. I fucked your mama, there's an app for my dick in that. I fucked your mama so hard with my iPhone 5. I fucked your mama, she said, I've never felt more alive. I fucked your mama in their eye and her tooth. I fucked your mama, ain't a lie, it's a motherfucking truth. I fucked your mama. In her beard, in her ear, I fucked your mama, I had no fear. I fucked your mama like a corn ear. I fucked your mama and I shocked your pussy. I fucked you like Gary Bussy. Turn that frown upside down.
He is yellow, poop is brown.
Truth,
come on down to Harmontown.
Working the crowd, what's your name,
Peter?
Peter, I fucked your mama in this theater. I fucked her right on this floor. There's a red rug here, but it's gonna get red some more.
because I gave her menstruation. Fucked your mama all across this great motherfucking nation. Fucked her in Canada too, it counts in Toronto. I fucked your mama like Lone Ranger fucked Tano. I fucked your mama prano, I did it right split. I fucked your mama, then I gave her a little tip, a bonus one, so now she's got three. I fucked your mama, then I poured her a cup of lemonade. Psych pee, I made her drink my pee. No, just go ahead, you can sing it. Sorry. The poop is brown, come on down to Harmon Town. Lights above me like stars twinkling bright. I fucked your mama like Muhammad Ali, didn't fight. I rope-a-doped her ass with my big dick. I put her on the ropes and then made her sick. She puked up my penis and then I gathered it up and I took it and put it in a chocolate like slop. It's a form of slop. If you're a real farmer, you'd know it's terminology that you know. Let me clarify. Rhythm. Dancing.
Let's transition to a different.
Wait, no, hold on. Okay, silence. Give me the silence I deserve. I deserve silence.
Oh.
I rapped badly.
Toddler dance in the aisles.
I rapped bad.
Look at the speed, they're shuffling like he's a baby.
Put your mama's pussy in a treasure chest. Put my dick in between her big motherfucking breast. Took her outside where it's cold as hell. I fucked your mama in the cold so she couldn't even tell, cause her pussy was numb from the cold. What I'm told in Minneapolis, that fucking weather is bold. She got an icicle instead of my wiener. I fucked your mama. It was cleaner the first time when I did it a year ago. Then I did it this time. It seemed dirtier, bro. What happened inside there? Did she make it dirty? Maybe she should be a little less flirty. I took her to a party once. No chorus, no. Just spitting fire. Keep on doing the rhymes. I don't give a motherfucking shit what I do this time. Pacing the stage like a motherfucking tiger. I fucked your mama like my name was William Riker. Went on to the bridge and said, hey Picard, I'm gonna fuck your mama so hard she gets into the prison yard. Walking Dead season 3, killer ass like she was a fucking zombie. Later out, head of the class, Howard Hessman came in, said, what's going on? I fucked your mama so hard she thought my dick was a tampon. It wasn't that time of month when she bled. I fucked your mama so hard and left away and she's dead, laying in a pool of her own viscera. I fucked your mama and nobody's kissing her. She's dead and she's alone. It's a tragedy. It's not funny, but I laughed at me because I did it brutally. I had no remorse and I did it with impunity. There was no sentencing. There was no jury. I fucked your mama and then murdered her. And really, if you step back and think about it, there's nothing funny about it. I'm sorry, I really revealed some dark shit. But it's a dark city. Now you can come back. Come on down to Harmon Town, Rocky, the frown upside down. Rap is yellow, poop is brown.
Come on down to Harmon.
Who wants to rap? Who wants to give it a try? Come up here. Don't worship your fear. Come on up with your tie and your blazer. This motherfucker's gonna rap like a laser. What's your name?
My name is Austin.
Austin's gonna rap, now it's gonna be awesome. Here you go.
Yeah, my name, you know it, is Austin. But not right now, I am not from Boston. I'm from the Twin Cities. I am dude so cool, and you are just clapping now. You are drool, that's rule.
Yeah,
looking like you're having just another spasm. What is that shit? I cannot even fathom. Look at this phantom, it is so fucking random. Kids from 2 to 20, and more, it is plenty of girls too. They looking kind of fine, but not like this dude. I'm gonna wine and dine, yeah.
Oh, hey. Come on down to Harmon to Austin! Round of seven. Let's end it. Close it down.
Come on down to Harmon.
Austin rocked it. It can't go no further. You keep doing the credits. I'm sorry I started rapping.
No, it's okay.
Pretend Austin ended the show.
One more time, everyone else together. Come on. Oh, when
no,
it strikes.
No. What?
Nothing.
She was trying to take it to the chorus.
Okay. Yeah, my shoes are attached. Thank you so much, Minneapolis.
Yes. I can close it. I want everyone to sing the chorus together one more time.
What's that?
I want everyone to sing the chorus together one more time. Come on down to Harmontown. Turn that frown upside down. He is yellow, poop is brown. Come on down to Harmontown. Thank you, Minneapolis. You guys are amazing. Thank you so much. Let's hear it for Spencer, the amazing Spencer. Sean McKenna, Tony.
Standing out means you get an encore.
Sean.
Every town that stands up gets rapping a little bit more. I'm going to disappoint you, going to let you down. I fucked your mama so hard she went to ground round. Paid what she weighed like David Spade in the Rubbermaid. Threw her ass away into the garbage and made my day. I fucked your mama, Minneapolis. I fucked your mama, didn't give a motherfucking Minneapolis. Peace. If you bought anything, I'll sign it back there for an hour, and then we're going to go to a different place, and you'll know. We'll tell you. You want me to drop the mic? Okay.
Yeah, just drop it.
Yeah! It's a very expensive mic. I dropped the other one. I'm talking into the one that I didn't drop. Josh with his tie and his booing of love.
Yes, Josh.
Sam with his loving simple man. Tony with his planter's fasciitis. The guy that yelled fuck you. Jaffer who just wanted bananas and thought you'd have his back. Sam in the back who can't tell a hyena from a giraffe. Matt, who would, or Joe, had to stand up here. I can't. All right, everybody, Minneapolis, thank you.
Minneapolis!
Good night. Thank you.
Oh, the outro music. That's something that I do. Oh, nope, this is the intro music, and.
The United States government, it is the mission of the National Security Agency to assess and flag citizens of the country who may present a threat to its security. The NSA has clearance to wiretap by any means necessary.
Tapped. Incidental recordings of private conversations from the files of the NSA.
Now on feralaudio.com.